today in this hour. I was getting ready today. I got to thinking, some visitors came in one time, seen all these Kleenex boxes. They said, "Man, you've got a crying church. Thank God we've got a crying church this morning. I see this Kleenex left in the altar. Aren't you glad you can go to a place where you can bring all of your tears, all of your fears?" Young families, you may think that Sunday morning at church is not very important, but it's going to come a day you too will get the call. It will be down at your house where you live. We sure do need each other in this day, in this hour. If you have a Bible with you this morning, if you'd turn with us to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, I'd like to start reading a few verses in verse number 19 of Ephesians 2, and verse 19. When you get there, say amen today. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." And don't miss this, it's very important. "And Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God this morning. Father, we do love you today. So many needs in this hour, and God, the prayer room was full. The list was full today. We have many sick. God, we want to thank you for watching over us through the storm last night. I want to thank you for a good church I can go to today with your people. Worship you in spirit and truth and open an old Bible. See what you have to say about our lives and our pathways. Help us now. Give us wisdom, direction, give us unction. I'm a needy preacher this morning. I pray you'd use me to be a blessing to your people. If it be one here lost that's never received Christ as their Savior, I pray this would be the day, God, they surrender their soul, spirit, and body. Call upon the one that can save them, the Lord Jesus Christ. For in your name we pray, amen and amen. A few housekeeping notes. I want to remind everybody, I think the second Sunday morning in March, we'll be having a baptism. Some here that want to be baptized. If you've been saved by God's grace, I want to encourage you to be baptized, to be immersed in water. Follow Christ in believers' baptism. And so we'll be trying to set that time aside there the second Sunday in March. I had been preaching out of three thoughts from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2. Remembering suddenly the power came. Oh, how we need the Spirit of God in this day, in this hour. I heard a man on the news channel this morning. He was on one of the social media platforms, and he was a Hispanic pastor. He said, "It's amazing what's happening through our land by the Spirit of God. If there's ever been a day and an hour when the church needs revival, it is this day and this hour. Our nation, America, needs revival. The fundamentals that our forefathers have set forth for us, they were biblical. How we need to continue to follow them, where one man, one woman are joined together, have children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus. We are to teach our children the fundamentals of the faith. We are God's people. We are different people. And oh, how the church needs revival." So out of this thought, the day the Spirit came, the day the Comforter came, we'd preach that three of His main plans was to go and fetch a bride. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. We've done that illustration with Rebekah and Isaac. As Isaac, the servant, went out looking for the bride, brought her back unto Isaac, and the Bible said when she saw him, she lit off her candle. Let me tell you, 1 Thessalonians 4, when Jesus sounds that trumpet, we're going to light off what we're riding, honey. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. No more heartaches, no more pains, no more disturbances. Everything's going to be wonderful over there. So we talked about one of his plans was to fetch a bride last Sunday. We preached on the thought, secondly, that he was to come to form a body. I'm thankful we're in the church body today. We taught last week on the fundamentals of that body. We are together. We're to have unity. We're to pray for one another. We're to be a light in a lost and a dying world. But this morning through this text, I've dealt with fetching the bride and forming the body. But today I want to close this little thought with he's here to fashion a building. Fashion a building. I want to let you in on it. God's house ought to be the prettiest place in town. It ought to be well kept. We need to see that it stays most beautiful because it represents us as a church to a community that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. When we leave out of this place, God don't live in here. He lives in here. And so he's teaching about the building. He's going to do something different than he's ever done. I won't preach on this simple subject today. I won't preach 15 or 20 minutes. But I'm going to preach on this thought. Where on earth does God live? Where on earth does God live? Let's look first of all at the handiwork of this building in this text. Verse number 19 of Ephesians 2. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and pilgrims, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The handiwork of the building. It was God's master plan. It was by design. It was his plan that now God would speak with man. God would walk with man. And God would dwell with man. All through the Old Testament body, they had the tabernacle. They would pick it up and it would move with them. God met with his people, the nation of Israel. We were the Gentile race. We could not get in. But aren't you glad that he sent Jesus on the cross to die for our sins, that we're no longer strangers? Oh, but we are pilgrims in a strange land. We're all headed to the city by God's great design. But then secondly, notice in this text the handiwork of this building. What is the building? What is it where God lives on this earth? What's in all of his children? We see the design. It was God's plan. But look in verse 20, there's a declaration. A lot of people try to come off of this verse. But the Bible says, we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Verse 20, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The declaration, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You see, when you build a building, the cornerstone must be correct. And can I tell you, the Lord Jesus, he was holy, harmless, undefiled and separate from sinners, born of a virgin woman in a lowly stable, conceived by the Holy Ghost of God, walked in this world perfect as the God-man, got on the cross and shed his blood for my sin and your sin and for the sins of the whole wide world. Therefore, we must see this declaration upon Christ. He is the solid rock. Oh, if you build upon sand, your house will surely fall. I got thinking about a text that Brother Mike had preached, and I want you to save your place and look at this about this declaration. Luke chapter number 6, and verse 47. You ought to mark it in your Bible. It's a great text. I love my Bible. He says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house, who digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, you see that? Not if, but when the flood arose. God's going to allow things to come in our life that will shake us. I'd love to tell you just because you love Jesus that you're immune to troubles, but we're not immune to troubles. He said this, when the flood arose, a stream beat vehemently upon that house. Watch this. And could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth it not, it's like a man that without a foundation he built a house upon the earth, against the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Boy, isn't that amazing this morning that how Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Let me sneeze a minute. Devil's been all over this thing since this morning. Okay, we won't sneeze. We'll keep on preaching. But I want to say today, I want to ask you, have you ever hit the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ? He digged down deep. A lot of people, they're trying to build a house upon religion, upon policies, upon doing good, upon a good education and a good job. And all those things have their place. But there's one way to heaven this morning. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you took a survey in America, they'd tell you there's many roads that lead to heaven. Young people, there's one road that leads to heaven. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Now notice there were a foundation, but there's also a framing that took place. The Bible said over there in that text in Ephesians, he said we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So as the Lord became the chief cornerstone, everything has to build off of that. Everything has to line up with him. He called the apostles and he saved them. They began to work on a building. And can I tell you, God's still working on the building. He's still working on me. I wished I had arrived, but I've not arrived. My goodness, every time I think I'm doing good, a little woman will pull out in front of me going to church, and I want to roll my window down and shake my fist at her. Amen. Oh, this flesh is wicked, but aren't you glad that it lives on the inside? Oh, is the Lord Jesus Christ in this day, in this hour. I'm glad he's still working on me. There's the handiwork of the building, the design, the declaration. I want to encourage you today, if you've never hit the rock, dig deep by faith. Put your hope and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you in this day, in this hour. You'll notice when that house fell, great was the disaster of it. Folks, let me tell you something. There is a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. You die without God, you'll lift your eyes in hell. You better trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no party that they're doing in hell this morning. Hell is still a real place. Jesus wrote more about hell than he did heaven. And mom and daddies, you need a preacher to tell your children you must be born again. Older people, we need a preacher to remind us we must be born again. We're all going to meet God. And we must be founded upon this rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one of the parents came to me this week and said, Brother Ken, would you pray for our daughter? She's really troubled. The Lord's dealing with her. We want her to be saved. I'm thankful we've got a God by the Spirit of God goes in the hearts and shows us that we're sinners, draws us toward his mercy and grace. Then we have responsibility to respond to God by faith. And this morning, if God's dealing with you to be saved, you ought to take that eternal step this morning and trust the dearest friend that I've ever had. You see, there's the handiwork of the building. There's the design, the declaration, but look at the discovery. He says, we that are in Christ, there's something different about us. What is different about this building? than other buildings. Where on earth does God live? Watch this in verse 19. We're now fellow citizens with the saints. I'm glad that God saved me, and now I'm a fellow citizen with the saints. Not only are we fellow citizens, but look in verse 19. We are family and of the household of God. Hey, it don't matter what you own. It don't matter what your skin color is. It don't matter what you drive. Honey, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are fellow citizens and we become in the family by the good grace of God. You know, some families won't let you in. Matter of fact, if the Ayers family knew about my background, Brother Lee, in Tennessee, they'd have never let me come join their family. Boy, ain't you glad Jesus isn't that way? Oh, aren't you glad that He'll forgive us of all of our sins and all of our trespasses in this day, in this hour? You know, the handiwork of the building is designed. It's declaration, but it's discovery. Not only are we fellow citizens and family, but look at the foundation. We have a foundation in verse 20. We're built upon the foundation. You know, me and my wife have been married 45 years. I've pastored this church for 30 years. And Brother Randall, if I had not had a foundation, I wouldn't have made it in either. The foundation is so important. Well, if I was caught up in religion, somebody at church would make me mad, I'd never go back. But it's always been something on the inside. Help me just keep it on, because I have a foundation. Do you have a foundation? And then, look in verse 21, not on the foundation, but the framing, in whom all the building, watch this, fitly framed together. There are no big ones, no little ones. We're all framed together. He's took the boards of life and has placed the family of God together, and He's building a building. Oh my goodness. Not only the foundation and the framing, but look in verse 21 or verse 22 at the function. This is amazing when I seen this verse a few years ago. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, what's your second point, preacher? I know you've got three. What's your second one? On where on earth does God live? Well, we've seen the handiwork of the building, God's design, God's plan, sent His Son to bring us that He might start living in this building. Now, watch it. The handiwork of the building, but now the habitation of the building. Look at verse 22. If you write in your Bible, underline this amazing text, in whom ye also were builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The habitation of the building. The habitation of God. I want to say in verse 22, it is a habited place. God lives on the inside of you if you're saved. Isn't that amazing that God's design that He would walk around in us as a building to a lost and a dying world? God lives inside of you if you're saved. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the day that we receive Him by faith, we are baptized by the Spirit of God in the family. That's why it says must be born again. We have a seal put upon us. The Spirit comes and lives in us. So now God lives inside of us. We are a habitation of God. It's not a stick building. He lives inside of us that is saved. I'd be careful where I was taking God through the week. I'd be careful what I was letting God see through the week, because He lives in me. You say, how you know He lives in you, preacher? Because when I do wrong, He convicts me. I don't have to have the FBI or a board of deacons to tell me when I'm wrong, honey. The Holy Ghost lives in me and shows me when I do wrong. And I sure am glad this verse is in my Bible. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's amazing. God lives inside of us. Is He sticking out of you where you walk? When somebody bumps in you, they say, oh my, I just run into, felt like God brushed against me. We ought not be no mean spirit. My goodness, Some folks meet y'all, they say, "My Lord, that's a junkyard dog. God ain't around that thing." That's why he says, be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Not only has he fetched a bride and formed a body, but now he's fashioning a building. He's working on all of us, and none of us have arrived. These folk tickle me. They come walking in church with their little nose stuck way up high. You know, they good Baptist people. And if it rained, they'd drown surely. Somebody say amen. My goodness, somebody don't dress like them or look like them, they have a tendency to look down. Let me ask some people come to the altar and pray. They say, "Oh, they're getting what they deserve." What do me and you really deserve? Not what we got this morning. Would somebody get excited about Jesus? He's been so good to us that God would move in, walk inside of us. And there's times when he wants to speak up and I don't say nothing. And I wished I had on the ride home. Oh, it is so precious to be obedient to the Lord and His Spirit. So not only do we see in this text the thought of His handiwork, His design, but the habitation. It's a habited place. Then watch this, 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. Turn the left in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 6:16. I want you to see these verses. They're very important. The habitation of the building. It's a habited place. God lives inside of us if we're born again. But then secondly, it's a house place. Boy, isn't that something where God lives? Where are you taking God through the week? Are you letting your light shine? And so here it's a house place. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Here it is, watch. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive ye. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know, God has never intended us, once we get saved, just to go into the barn or the corn crib, put blinders on, and sit there till we die and He comes after us. God has saved us for the purpose that we're to go out and reach a lost in a dying world. We're not to be judge and jury. We're to present Christ in front of them, tell them about our experience, and be so good to people. Oh, it is a house place. Now watch, he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Do you get that? You are the building. I am the building. And he's saying, he's talking to the most worldly church that was in the New Testament, the church of the Corinthians, that had great issues and problems in that church. And Paul is simply telling them, look, why are you serving idols? Why is idols in your life? Get those things out of our life. This world, I believe that God wants us to go not in isolation, but in insulation. If you take a wire, it's insulated. A wire is no good if it's isolated. It's no use. Neither are you and I any good if we're isolated, but we are to be insulated. We're not to act like the world. You know, there's a lot of businessmen in here. Wouldn't it be a blessing if a handshake would be the paperwork in this day and this hour? Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. If somebody tells you to come in and they got an umbrella and say it's a raining outside, you ought to take the word. It's how close it ought to be. I remember one time Miss Peggy, it was a great drought. Y'all, we run an ad in the newspaper in the community. We met at the Tabernacle. People's well was going dry. We were bringing water and putting in their wells so they could wash and bathe. And so we had this meeting. Miss Peggy, you know what Miss Peggy done? She got out of a car with an umbrella. I said, "Miss Peggy, what you doing?" She said, "It's going to rain, preacher." I wished I had that kind of faith. And y'all know something? I got up there and got to preaching. Miss Peggy, tell them, what did it do? It rained, didn't it, honey? I'm going to tell you, our word ought to be our word. It ought to be our bond. It ought to mean something of who we are and God's people and God's family. Now, if you go out and deal with the world, you better have a contract with that bunch. Somebody say amen this morning. But God's people, we ought to realize it's a house place. It's where God lives. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be resisted. Oh, let God be God in your life. So it is a house place. It's a habited place. But now, turn to the left. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Watch your Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul writing now to the same church in the first letter. And he says this about this habitation of the building. Not only is it a habited place, not only is it a home place, but thirdly, it is to be a holy place. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God, watch this, in your body. We think about that a whole lot. Let's get the whole part of it. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now if I've got a bad spirit in me, I need to do something about it and get it fixed. How we need maintenance in the home place. Any of y'all have maintenance at your home place, your stick building? I've noticed it requires a lot of sweeping. Oh, it's amazing that the dirt. Renee say, "Hey, would you sweep that floor?" I said, "It ain't dirty." She said, "I said sweep the floor." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Brother Shane, I got one of them good soft brooms. You know, if she hits me with it, it don't hurt too hard. And I push that thing a little bit. And it's amazing at the dirt that's on the floor. You know why? Because it's tracking in. We need to watch our lives. Not only is there sweeping, that must be a keeping. Now, this is something Renee is a stickler on. I don't like it. I'll go wash my hands at the sink, pull the paper towel off. I don't know why I do it, Brother Shane, but I wad it up, throw it on the counter, and the garbage can's right there. She'll say, "Your mama don't live here." I love water, pouring them lemonade packets in it. I have three on the fireplace. It just ain't real convenient to take one every time to the garbage can. And I'll wake up, she'll say, "Why didn't you pick all that up?" Talk about housekeeping, sweeping, and keeping. Oh, how we need to keep things in order in our tabernacle for the honor and the glory of God. Now, the last text, turn to 1 Peter. I want you to see this. The last thought this morning, the third, the handiwork of the building, the habitation of the building. That's something God lives in us. Now look at the happenings in the building. 1 Peter, look at chapter number 2. Turn the right in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Brother Jamie preached out of this text at a men's fellowship not long ago. I was reminded last night. I'm glad we've got some people that can teach the Word of God. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. By faith we did that to Christ as the living stone. He says this. He says, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. We're lively stone. We're not to be a bunch of deadheads. We're to enjoy the goodness of God. Somebody said, "Well, y'all's church is too loud." I got more Bible to show you where it could be loud than quiet. Hey, I want to remind y'all, when you go to heaven, it ain't going to be a quiet side and a loud side. And ain't going to be a smoking side and no smoking side. Somebody say amen. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Watch who he is. He's elect and precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Miss Emily, would you come? Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. But them which be disobedient, the stone that the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corners. Well, the Jewish nation didn't want him. Many people didn't want him. But God wanted him as the chief cornerstone. Watch this, a stone of stumbling. I feel so sorry for people that get on and talk so negative about the Lord Jesus. There was this lady. She said that she was a lesbian priest on national TV this week. And said that the Jesus she knowed would dress like this. Let me tell you, the Jesus I know ain't part of none of that this morning. And I'm not scared to stand up and tell you it is what it is. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. This stone's going to grind them to powder one day that's made fun of the King of Kings. The one that hung on an old cross that died for me and died for you. He'll become a stone of stumbling or a stone of security if you believe in him. But the Bible says, verse 9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, watch this, and a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are to be a passionate people. He's precious. We are to be a peculiar people. We are to be a praiseful people. I try to think about people and their worship. Every how you worship is between you and the Lord. You don't have to run and shout. I cry. But see, I've done a lot of bad things. Went a lot of bad places. Done a lot of bad things. But Jesus come in my life. Matter of fact, some of you don't know this. I got to running with the wrong crowd. I got hooked on the devil's weed as a young man. Me and Renee hadn't been married for a few years. Little Megan and Macy began to come up. Lee, I really wanted to get rid of that. See, that's the problem with sin. You start playing with sin and you get ready to leave it, it won't leave you alone. I was at Buffalo Rock Pepsi, Noonan, Georgia, young man, God come in that building. I'd been praying in the altar. God said, go home today. You're done with it. You're delivered. I went home and there was Renee. She is crying. I reached in my golf bag, pulled that out that had me hooked all a long time. I said, honey, look what God has done for me today. And I poured it out of the shrubbery. This is what she said. I'd had enough. And I was leaving. But God, God's still working on me. We're bought with a price. We're His. He can do with us whatever He sees fit. I don't agree with everything. But I do know He's the Master and He loves us. And He does everything that is perfect and right. Those things I don't understand. But I do understand this. God lives in me.
Does he live in you? You may be here today, God's dealing with you. Where are you going to spend eternity? Eternity is way too long to be wrong. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to come and ask Him to help you with something. Renee, how would we have ever made it without the chief cornerstone, honey? How would we ever made it? Now, Brother Adam, I look back at what God's done in my life, the friends He's put in my life, the family. It's amazing. You say, well, preacher, you get too emotional, too excited. Look what He's done for me. What's He done for you? Would you come this morning? We open this altar. Miss Emily's going to play, sing. If you have a need, bring it to the Lord. If you want to be saved, come by faith. I'll help you pray. Receive the Lord Jesus. Stand with us around the building. You come. If you have a need, you bring it to the Lord this morning. He cares about you and He loves you.